St. Luke's Lutheran Church. I'm delighted to see all of you who are here in person, and welcome to those who are joining us more remotely. This morning we have the Bell Choir with us. Please listen as they bless us with the gift of music this morning with "I'm Gonna Sing." Thank you very much. We are always delighted when you're able to join us and to bless our service with the gift of music. We do have some announcements. It shows our food pantry volunteers for tomorrow as Shirley and Linda. On Tuesday, right here, we have Bible study. Wednesday, I believe we're meeting downstairs for soup and then upstairs for worship. We will be discussing episode 3 of The Chosen, which is about Jesus and the children. On Thursday, there will be bell choir practice. There will not be Bible study over at the UCC for a few weeks. I should announce that I need to go back to California for a bit. I will be leaving immediately after service next Sunday and returning before our Palm Sunday service. So please, if you keep me in prayers for traveling mercies and keep my husband in prayer, I would appreciate it. I believe that Dean has an announcement for us. We were going to give him spotlights and additional bells, but I think he can handle it himself. So, Dean.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Very nice to hear the bells again. And thank you for the volunteer bell ringers. Just love it. Mm-hmm. I'm the coordinator of the Meals on Wheels, now known as the Home Delivered Meals. And we have several people that have already volunteered, and I thank you for that volunteerism. But I do have about 6 or 7 slots that are still open. So anybody who would like to, I've got the sign-up sheet on the big table in there, or give me a call. Please do this coming week, or today, hopefully, because next Sunday I'll send it back into the Buffalo Senior Center, and they will make sure that everything is correct and we get going in the first part of April. So if there's any questions, see me, and we'll go for it. Thank you.
Thank you, Dean. Are there any other announcements? Yes, Lois.
You probably have all read about our collection for the refugees from Ukraine, and I've got a list of what is needed in some Ziploc bags on the table in the other room, and there's also a donation jar if you prefer just to give money to help buy us instead of a bag. All the information was in this week's weekly newsletter, so if you have a question, I'll be in there.
Thank you, Lois. So again, if you would like to participate in the project for Ukraine, the information was in this week's bulletin, or contact Lois immediately afterward during the fellowship time, and she can explain what we will be doing. Any other announcements? If not, I invite you to stand as you are able for the confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, Give Me Jesus. It is number 770. our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Is from the 55th chapter of Isaiah. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. For he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, said the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 63 responsively. O God, you are my God. Eagerly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water.
Therefore I praise upon you.
Your steadfast love is better than life itself. My lips shall give you praise.
So will I bless you as long as I live, and lift up my hands to your name.
My spirit is content, as with the richest of foods, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips.
And I remember you upon my bed, and meditate on you in my watches.
For you have been my helper, and under the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice.
My whole being clings to you. Your right hand holds me fast.
The second reading is from the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them. The rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples for us, so that we may not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters as some of them did, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents. And do not complain as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us on whom the ends of the ages have come. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
According to Luke, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. Do you think they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, that unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever been lost? Yeah. Let me tell you the last time I was really lost. It was only last month. I was driving to Billings for a clergy retreat, and all seemed to be going well. I had input the information into my phone. I know where Billings is. You can find Billings. Except that once I got to Gary Owen, it started to snow. And the snow came down this way, and the wind was blowing this way. And you know how the snow just blows across the roadway. There's no way you can see anything. The only thing I knew to do was to find a large vehicle in front of me and follow it, and hope that if it went off the side of the road, I wouldn't follow it that direction. And so I'm there clutching the steering wheel, saying, "God, just get me to Billings." And I made it to Billings. And I, by that time, had lost my signal. And I wasn't sure where I was. So I stopped at the first gas station I could find and called the pastor who was supposed to be taking me in for the night and said, "This is where I am. How far am I from your home? You know, I'm at this particular gas station that has this particular casino." And she said, "I'm not really sure exactly where you are, but just get back on the road and you should be able to find our house. Just input it into your phone." And so I did. I don't know what happened. I had the right address. I put it properly into the phone. I followed its directions as it led me to the Billings Airport, and then back down from the Billings Airport, and it led me into some neighborhood that barely had a road, and it just was leading me all sorts of places, and it finally tells me that I have reached my destination, and I clearly have not. And the only thing I could do was pull over. I found a church, Lutheran church, pulled over and called and said, I have no idea where I am. And her response was, stay where you are and we'll come find you. And so I sat in my car wondering, how far can I possibly be? They should just be a minute or two. And I'm waiting, and I have to turn on the car every now and then and wipe the snow off because it's blizzard conditions. I'm thinking, what in the world am I doing out here anyway? And they finally find me and lead me to their home. And how wonderful it was to be in a safe location where they gave me some hot tea and I felt much better. And what went wrong? I put the right information in, but I clearly did not make it to my destination. I had to finally acknowledge that I just couldn't find where I was needing to be all by myself. And I needed to find someone with superior knowledge, someone who clearly knew the way. She knew how to get to her own house. I turned out to be 5 miles away. Right street, wrong part of town. We've probably all had occasions where something like that has happened to us, where we've been lost, physically lost. But there are other times in life when we may also feel lost, times when we wonder what direction our lives are going, which way we're supposed to be going. We can open up the scriptures for guidance and come to a passage such as the one in today's gospel lesson and wonder, what is it supposed to mean? How are we supposed to make sense out of Jesus' statements regarding two seemingly unrelated incidents of horrible tragedy and a parable about a barren fig tree? In our gospel lesson today, Jesus had the perfect opportunity to explain the meaning of suffering, to make it clear for all time why human beings suffer, why bad things happen to good people. And do you notice what happened? He didn't tell us. There are lots of people out there who do try to tell us. I was looking at books in my library. This one, perfect title. This isn't the life I signed up for. Or this one. Maybe life's just not that into you when you feel like the world's voted you off. Plenty of self-help books. Somehow I don't find them to be as helpful as I would like them to be. Maybe that's why there's so many of them. If there were one self-help book that gave me all the answers, I wouldn't need any others, would I? And sometimes the Bible is just downright confusing. People came to Jesus in today's gospel lesson with the horrible report of Galileans, his own people, being killed by Pontius Pilate, and their blood mingled with their sacrifices. We hear about 18 people killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. These two incidents seem to have happened quite suddenly. Without warning, worshippers in Jerusalem find themselves overcome by the powers of Rome. And without warning, towers collapse on people engaging in their everyday activities. And so how are we to interpret Jesus' message regarding these incidents, which seems so dissimilar? One was a deliberate and cruel act, the other a terrible accident, with 18 people in the wrong place at the wrong time. And what connects these two? Well, both might be interpreted as punishment for sin. The idea that disaster or sickness comes as punishment for sin can be found throughout the Old Testament, such as in Deuteronomy chapters 28 through 30, where you see warnings of curses that will fall upon the people if they fail to obey God's laws. It appears in the New Testament as well. In John chapter 9, verse 2, people ask whether a man's blindness is a result of his sin or his parents' sin. In those days, it was believed that if something bad happened to you, you deserved it. You sinned, or your parents, or some other ancestors sinned. And that thought somehow has continued to the present age. When something goes wrong, we have a tendency to blame the victim, whether it's a devastating illness or a natural catastrophe. How many times have you heard that COVID-19 must be a punishment from God for the sins of the world? We still have that mentality. Well, and if bad things are happening to people who deserve it, that lets us off the hook, doesn't it? Well, not according to what Jesus says. He states that those who died were not any more sinful than others in Galilee or Jerusalem. But he also stated that unless the people repented, they would perish in the same way. But what does that mean? Will Pilate kill them too? Do they need to stay far away from towers as they go about their daily business? And what does he mean by perish? For all of us must die. And some people look at this gospel message and they say it relates to the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD. As I had mentioned last week, the siege of Jerusalem happened just days before Passover, when so many people had gathered in the holy city. And there they were, offering their sacrifices and dying. And stone was pulled down so that no stone was left on another. And we could easily look at this and say, see, this has already happened. But that isn't exactly what Jesus means. It's not just them. It's all of us. The focus of the warning seems to be that repentance cannot be delayed, because death may come at any time. Repentance needs to be an ongoing attitude in one's life, not just an occasional act. Jesus tells the parable of a fig tree planted in a vineyard, how the owner came to the tree each year for 3 years expecting figs. And he may have been coming there for a long time, because fig trees take several years before they produce figs. And under the law of that time, the first crop went to the Lord. And so it may be 7, 8, 9 years that he's been looking for figs on this tree and finding none. And after so much disappointment, he orders that the tree be cut down. The gardener asks that the tree be given one more year. Will you can tend to it, dig around its roots, give it manure, do all the things he can to make it fruitful. And if it does not bear fruit, then it can be cut down. Now, often in Scripture, a fig tree represents God's favor, especially God's favor to his chosen people. Where do we find the first reference to fig trees? In the very first book of the Bible, in Genesis, where those first human beings, after sinning against God and being embarrassed at being discovered that they're naked, clothe themselves with fig leaves. It's tempting to make an allegory out of this little parable, to try to figure out who we are in it, who is God, who is the gardener. But really, the whole thing is about God's grace and mercy. That we're still alive, even though we're as sinful as those who've died. And we're being given more time. More time for the Word of God to sink into our lives, to give us what we need to be fruitful. And are we being fruitful? Are we in danger of being cut down? the call for repentance. Always so timely. Is particularly so in Lent. What may give us courage is to know the role of that gardener who's pleading for us, pleading for mercy for one more year. It's knowing that we can't do it alone. We do not labor alone. We need that gardener promising to tend it, to watch over, reminding us to repent, to reform, and that our repentance and reformation do not occur apart from the watchful eye of God. I found a lot of times that feeling lost goes hand in hand with suffering. Suffering makes us feel that we lack power and control. I think back to when my children were little and they were hurting, and I said the same words my mother had said before me. If only I could take this pain upon myself, I will gladly bear it if they did not have to. And I look at the world today with news reports from Ukraine and Yemen and other parts of the world where there's so much needless pain and suffering. And then I remember that there is someone who said the very same thing that I did. I would gladly take their pain. I would gladly take their suffering. I would take their sins. So that even though we deserve to be cut down because we are not as fruitful as we should be, we have one who has done what we cannot, who bears the fruit when we cannot. And it is because of his death and resurrection that our lives have purpose and meaning, even when we can't see that purpose and meaning. Even when we feel lost and we question every aspect of our life, every decision that we've made, when we see one small setback and we wonder, when we see a minor problem that just escalates, when we second guess ourselves and our relationships and our career choices and our areas of personal growth, when we question things in life that seem so solid, places that were firm, areas in which we could stand. We would make one little mistake and then another, and everything just escalates. And our self-esteem starts to crumble, and we feel so lost that we don't know where to turn. It is in those moments that we need to stop, to pause, to give ourselves an opportunity to take stock of the situation, to figure out what needs to change in our lives and get us back on course. Some people talk of a moral compass that is instilled in us, that our parents and teachers help nurture. And whenever we feel lost, we have to remember where that moral compass points us. It points us back to God. And all of us sometimes feel lost physically, spiritually, emotionally. And it's so uncomfortable to sit with those emotions. But sometimes we need to feel lost in order to make the necessary changes to make our lives better. When we realize we can't do it all ourselves, just like that fig tree couldn't care for itself, and turn to that care of the one who cares so much more than we can ever understand, who cares for us and loves us and calls us to himself. So let us put ourselves in the care of our Lord and stop and assess our lives and turn our lives back to God. For however we may feel ourselves lost, he will always find us. Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of the day. God be ever great Redeemer. It is number 618. Together as we confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven.
He is seated at the right hand of the Father,
and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. Drawn close to the heart of God, we offer these prayers for the Church, the world, and all in need. We pray for the Church around the world in all its forms, for pastors, deacons, bishops, chaplains, and mission developers, for church councils, committee chairs, and all lay ministry leaders, for congregations that contemplate difficult decisions about the future of their ministry, merciful God, receive our prayer. For the health of this planet and the well-being of its creatures, for lands impacted by droughts and at risk of wildfires, for fig trees and vineyards that produce fruit for our nourishment and delight, for animal habitats threatened by climate change, merciful God,
receive our prayer.
For those called into positions of civic responsibility, for judges, attorneys, and court administrators tasked with uncovering truth and delivering justice, for activists and community leaders who cast a vision of a more compassionate and equitable society, merciful God,
receive our prayer.
For those who call upon you for mercy, for all who live in poverty and experience hunger, for any who feel tested beyond their strength, for those who are hospitalized or near death, for all those in need of healing, for those in Ukraine and Yemen and other places where there is war and threat of war, and for those that we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
For the advocacy efforts of this congregation, for those whose faith leads them to speak difficult truths and engage in difficult conversations with policymakers, for those who promote mercy over vengeance or retaliation, Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
For those whose earthly journeys have ended, we give thanks. For all of our loved ones and for all of the saints, we praise you for the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Accept the prayers we bring, O God, on behalf of the world in need, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of that peace, as always. And we thank you for bringing your offerings, for sending them into the church, or for giving through online banking. Let us join together in our offertory hymn, Let the Vineyards Be Fruitful.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Let us pray. Compassionate God, you have fed us with the bread of heaven. Sustain us in our Lenten pilgrimage. May our fasting be hunger for justice, our alms the making of peace, and our prayer the song of grateful hearts through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please stand as you are able for the blessing. Receive this blessing as you are sent in mission to the world. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with